This is a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Tear down this wall.
Broadcasting live from Z-Talk Studios in beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota. It's Z-Talk Live with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Scotty Rourke.
Ah, yes. Another week of Z-Talk Live infecting your eardrums.
Yeah, infecting it like the bad pus draining out of it. Happy New Year's, by the way.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, my friend Emerald, or better known as Tammy, our news girl, is actually on holiday vacation with her husband, so... Shame on you. The rest of us are here working while you are vacationing. Although
we didn't get vacation
yet. No, we
didn't
get nothing.
You've not been with the show long enough to earn vacation.
That's
right. Are you
taking
this as personal time?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah,
our benefits don't kick in for 90 days. And
if you'd like to become the next showgirl.
Talk to us. And you don't want to take a vacation, let us know.
Definitely. But she did send a pre-recorded news, so I guess you can't scream too loud about that.
Oh, yes, I can.
I know we could, but... She should
and
have been.
I will.
You will. Yes, you're gonna put a nasty gram in her inbox by tomorrow morning.
Oh, I definitely will. Yeah. Big nasty.
Who do you think you are? I'm Scott Rourke, damn it. No.
Exactly. And this is a new year. And my New Year's resolution is to fire you.
Yeah. Hey, you know who Donald Trump is? Yeah, you know his tagline? You're fired.
That's funny, man.
Oh, by the way, 1, 2, 3, 4, you're fired.
Yeah.
Start spreading.
They do a great impression of that on Saturday Night Live. I think that was so funny.
Start spreading the news. You got fired today. Oh, man.
Hey, that's the way to start the New Year's. Come back, no job.
That's right. You're done.
You're out.
You're out of here.
News is over.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, no, man. We had so much snow up here over the
holiday
weekend.
How much snow did you have?
Like 19 inches or something like that. It was unreal. Yeah. It was that heavy, wet snow. I mean,
that stuff is bad. That hurts your back shoveling.
Oh, some people got as much as 28 inches of snow up here, man.
Dude, and I tell you all the time you live in Canada.
I think Canadians are saying damn right now.
Yeah, I know they are. We only got 2 to 3 on top of the 18 that we got that one. We got dumped on a little bit ago.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too bad, but then the rain came, and then it was really real slick.
Yeah, that is no fun. Hey, did you get anything good for Christmas?
I did. I got a USB turntable.
Sweet.
So I can convert all my old LPs. So for all you kids that are listening out there, that mean records.
Yeah, I got
that. It's the things before CDs that actually had a needle and had one continuous groove and played all the music.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's where we got groovy from.
Yes, groovy. It's right there in the Smithsonian.
Yep, it is. Look it up.
It's in a time capsule as we speak.
A record would be right there. So.
Along with a thing that we used to call cassette tape.
Hey, dude, I used to have an 8-track in my car.
Did you really?
Yep, and when I had Cheap Trick live at Budokan.
Oh, man.
What a great album.
Those were the days.
It was just a totally awesome album. But I'd always take it, and the bad part of it is always at the third or fourth track, it would always skip halfway through the song. So it'd be like... Click. It just keeps going. I'm like, oh, I hate it.
Now, live at Budokan, that had like Surrender and Want You to Want Me, right?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's killer. I love those tunes.
You know, that was a great album, and to have it on 8-track in my car, I was like, all that and a piece of cake.
They don't do a little thing anymore that they used to, and that's called play your instruments.
Yeah, I know.
now they
sample everything.
Exactly. I mean, I was listening to the top 40 the other day, and there's like one on there called, I have no idea.
Why would you waste your time, dude?
You know what? There was one on there like called Poker Face by Lady Gaga.
Yeah, but that's not too bad. I don't mind that song.
And then there was, what is another one?
See, Lady Gaga is just hot, so that's
probably why she kind of scares me. Have you ever seen the video? I mean, my God, one person should not be able to wear that much makeup.
It's freaky. I mean, she's cute. I mean, I've seen her. I saw her on Saturday Night Live, and when she was on there, and I've seen her in the shows. I mean, her and Madonna did this get together.
Oh,
where they were fighting. Really? That was really pretty funny.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Well, now that you got me all hot and bothered about Madonna, yes, Lady Gaga, Madonna mud wrestling.
And Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Lady Gaga is a man. Someone puts in there. That's funny.
Well, who knows? Okay, at least she's cute.
Yeah, I guess. Hey, I don't care. You know?
Hey, I don't care if you look cute. What the heck? If you look cute in skirt, hey, I'm all for it.
Without any further ado, here is your news.
You're listening to Z-Talk Live Radio News, and this is Tammy Henderson with your news updates. And good evening on this Monday, December the 28th of 2009. This is your Z-Talk Live Radio News Update. And this is Tammy Henderson for your Z-Talk Live News Update. And we're heading into the year 2010. Hard to believe it's just around the corner, just a few days away. And we start off with our first top news story of the evening. Where in the world do people feel most content with in their lives? According to a new report released by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, a Paris-based group of 30 countries with democratic governments that provides economic and social statistics and data, happiness levels are highest in Northern European countries. Denmark, Finland, and the Netherlands rated at the top of the list, ranking first, second, and third, respectively. Outside Europe, New Zealand and Canada landed at number 8 and 6, respectively. And the U.S. did not crack the top 10 list. Switzerland placed 7th and Belgium placed 10th. The report looked at subjective well-being defined as life satisfaction. Did people feel like their lives were dominated by positive experiences and feelings or negative ones? To answer that question, the OECD used data from a Gallup World Poll conducted in 140 countries around the world last year. What would you consider the best job in the world? Well, one man is being paid $110,000 to live on an island resort and blog about it. It's probably the best job in the world. Now that the Australian Tourism Bureau has finally selected somebody to live on an island and write about it and be a beach bum. The new hire will get to live in a fantastic house on a paradise island in Australia's Great Barrier Reef for 6 months and get paid $110,000 to do it. The only requirement, write a weekly blog. And that's right, weekly, not even daily. Sick as a dog, pooches and felines continue to get the swine flu. A dog in suburban New York City is the first in the nation confirmed to be carrying the same strain of swine flu that is infecting humans, experts told the Associated Press on Tuesday. The 13-year-old mixed breed male, which is recovering, apparently caught the virus from his owner, although there really is no evidence that the flu strain can be transmitted from a pet to a person at this time. The announcement of a dog with swine flu comes a little more than a month after an unidentified male cat in Iowa was believed to be the first feline in the nation diagnosed with the H1N1 virus. In that case, a 13-year-old mixed breed cat showed the symptoms of lethargy, sneezing, and coughing, typical H1N1 virus symptoms. Police say Ivana Trump has been escorted off of a plane in Florida after she became belligerent when children were running and screaming in the aisles. Authorities say the first ex-wife of billionaire Donald Trump cussed at the children Saturday, and when flight attendants on the New York-bound plane tried to calm her, she became even more aggravated. She has not been charged in the incident at the Palm Beach International Airport. Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputies asked Trump to voluntarily exit the plane, but they said she refused. She was then escorted off. A first highly drug-resistant TB or tuberculosis has been found in the U.S. 40 years ago, the world thought it had conquered TB or tuberculosis and any number of other diseases through the new wonder drugs, antibiotics. U.S. Surgeon General William H. Stewart is now saying it's time to close the book on infectious diseases and declare the war against pestilence won. But today, all the leading killer infectious diseases on the planet, such as TB, malaria, and HIV among them, are mutating at an alarming rate. The reason? Overuse and misuse of the very drugs that we are using to save us, such as antibiotics. Just as the drugs were a man-made solution to dangerous illness, the problem with them is also man-made. It is fueled worldwide by even everything from counterfeit drug makers to the unintended consequences of giving drugs to the poor without properly monitoring their treatment. In Cambodia, scientists have confirmed the emergence of a new drug-resistant form of malaria, threatening the only treatment left to fight a disease that already kills 1 million people a year. In Africa, new and harder-to-treat strains of HIV are being detected in about 5% of new patients. HIV drug-resistant rates have shot up to as high as 30% worldwide. In the U.S., drug-resistant infections killed more than 65,000 people last year, more than prostate and breast cancer combined. More than 19,000 people died from a staph infection alone that has been eliminated in Norway, where antibiotics are stringently limited. Drug resistance is starting to be a very big problem. In the past, people stopped worrying about TB and other infections, but now they seem to be coming back. This April, the World Health Organization sounded alarms by holding its first drug-resistant TB conference in Beijing. The message was clear. The disease has already spread to all continents and is increasingly rapidly even worse than it was first believed to be. This new potential strand of TB or tuberculosis is being taken seriously by the CDC and investigated and studied as we all share the same breath. As the sad, eerie story of Brittany Murphy really only starts unfolding, Renegade Pictures has just released a trailer for her final movie, Abandoned. Brittany's performance in it is pretty intense. She plays a woman under psychiatric evaluation whose husband has vanished. And has anyone ever noticed that in show business, when stars die young, their last movie never seemed to be anything warm and fuzzy? Let's look at the almost precedent movies of stars who died young. Heath Ledger's last movie, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, is about a troupe of traveling performers who make deals with the devil and their audiences. Eerie, and the images of him from The Dark Knight were pretty shocking too, considering that he has already gone had already passed away when the movie came out. Aaliyah was a beautiful 22-year-old singer who played the Queen of the Dead, literally, in Queen of the Damned. She died in a plane crash before the movie was released. River Phoenix died an even younger age after an overdose killed him. He expired on the sidewalk in front of the notorious nightclub, The Viper Room. River was 90% done filming Dark Blood, but it was never released. Judy Garland, troubled for years by substance abuse and an unhappy personal life, died of a drug overdose days after she turned 47. Her legendary last film, I Could Go On Singing, was the story of a woman trying to get back the life she abandoned while pursuing fame. So what do you think? Don't they all hit a little close to home? So those are just a few stories of some of the movie stars that have died too young and some of the disturbing last movies that they played in as well. Just a few days ago was the anniversary of one of the worst natural disasters ever recorded, the Indian Ocean tsunami, an underwater earthquake set off a tidal wave that inundated the shores of 11 countries, leaving more than 230,000 people dead. The first and the worst region to be hit was Banda Aceh on the Indonesian island of Sumatra. More than 50,000 people died there, and 500,000 were made homeless. Houses and shops were flattened by the waves. Broken bodies littered what was left of the streets. People said the town looked like Hiroshima after an atom bomb. So we remember those who lost their lives in this horrendous natural disaster and those who continue to live on. And that is your Z-Talk Live news updates with Tammy Henderson, wishing you a very happy week and a great beginning to the new year ahead on 2010.
And there we have it right there, Scotty, the news.
Why would she end on a downer note?
Maybe? I don't know.
I'm gonna call her up on vacation. We should like call her and get her on the phone.
I wish I knew her cell phone number.
And we wish you a great 2010 for all you that are no longer with us.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It helps us ghost hunters. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm channeling Elvis. Oh, that sucked.
No. Yes, it did. That's no, right. It was Elvis said when he worked at Denny's.
Got a peanut butter fried bananas.
Yeah.
I can't believe we got on the whole Elvis kick, because that's funny as heck. Because I actually have in my possession, to kill the last 4 minutes, I have the legitimate actual Elvis tapes.
Elvis tapes?
I do.
No way.
I do. Yes, I do. Here, let me pull that up right now.
You'll have to pull it out of somewhere.
Yeah,
Did you hear my prediction for 2010? Zeta was trying to get me on when I was on the buzz. She was trying to get me to root for the Vikings.
Well, here,
and I,
here,
and I said, when the minions of hell, when minions of hell ride snowmobiles, I will be a Vikings fan.
Yes, but here's the Elvis tapes.
You've got his records, you've seen his film, you've even purchased the Day Glow Velvet Memorial paintings at the gas station. As a true Elvis fan, you think you've heard it all, but wait, there's more. Now you can buy secret recordings of Elvis's last telephone conversations. Yes, it's the Elvis tapes.
Hello, baby. This is Elvis. And I want you to come over right now and make me a big peanut butter and then a sandwich. A peanut butter and then a sandwich will get me through the night.
You'll hear Elvis in his most intimate moments.
Hello, pizza man, pizza. Yeah, this is the Elvis. Won't you bring me over a couple large pies? I'll make it three. I'll make it six, double cheese. Yeah, I'm home. I'm alone. And I'm hungry.
And you'll hear Elvis reveal how he really feels about the one true love of his life.
I want you back. I want you back in my life, baby. And on your way back, would you pick up some donuts, please? Big jelly, cream donuts, crullers, cheese, Danish too. I love my big honey glazed donuts. Without them, I can't do.
The Elvis tapes.
Oh, give me more donuts.
Available now in drugstores everywhere.
See, I told you.
I love to eat a little bit more.
I told you I had the Elvis tapes.
Well, that was great, man. I bought those.
Did you really?
Yeah, during when it was playing, I was the first one to call. So I got a chamois with it.
You got a chamois. Well, better than what Billy, whatever his name was, pushing. Because we
Billy
all
Mays.
Know what
I'm
happened.
I'm Billy Mays.
I'm Billy Mays, and I'm dead.
You know, that would be great this year. You know, we're gonna have to, you know, in this whole new year of ghost hunting and stuff, we're gonna have to try to channel these guys.
We
here
should
on the show.
We should.
We could see if we can bring Rodney through. We can bring.
Yeah, Billy Mays. I'm Billy Mays here, and I'm here to sell you more useless crap. You thought you could get rid of me even after I was dead?
Yeah. See if Billy Mays could do it. You know, hey, we'll figure out what's going on. Hey, Minnesota just caught up. 23-23.
Well, yeah, Minnesota has to win. No BS. They have to win because last week is just
flat out. It's the Chicago
out.
Bears for crying
I know.
Out loud,
last dude. Week was just flat. Well, you know what? We got to save it for sports.
I know, but still.
I know. I
it's
know.
Crazy.
I know.
Losing to the Bears, that's crazy.
Well, you know, everybody loses. You know, everyone should win against the Bears lately.
That's right. That's my point.
Jay Gutless. I mean, Cutler. I like that. They got rid of Cutler. Yeah, I mean, they got rid of Orton for Cutler, and Orton's playing better ball.
I know. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But hey, the week of blowouts, we'll talk about that in sports, though. It's kind of
definitely
good week of
it's sports, been great.
So we'll see what happens with this game. So just giving the updates.
I know, but tonight, before all that begins, we have funny man Mike Brody coming on.
We sure do, and
Mike
it's going to be a great
absolutely
show.
Absolutely hilarious, and he brings a lot to the table. It's just funny because every time I talk to him, he cracks me up.
So what does he bring to the table? A lot of food or
well, you know,
drinks,
yeah,
what
yeah,
does
a
he
lot
bring?
Of drink and food.
Okay. You know, well, then I'm all in for it, man.
There you go, man.
Come
there
on,
you go.
Mike, bring your stuff.
We got to get rolling, though, to break so we can add him into this great conversation. We'll be right back after this for more Z-Talk Live, not only on Z-Talk Radio, not only on UPRN 105, but tonight, very special, we're streaming to Haunted Voices Radio as well tonight.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you for listening, putting up with us for one night only over here. So we will be right back after this.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh my God!
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed. Available at Amazon.com.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests. And much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z.
And we are back from that break. Hopefully everybody enjoyed that break as much as I did. But we are.
I enjoyed it really? Thoroughly cool, because man. The Chicago Bears just scored a touchdown.
They did. I just saw that. Shut up, man. Shut up. I don't even want to hear that right now.
Sorry,
because
man.
We have Sorry. Absolutely a stellar guest tonight. We have Mike Brody in the house tonight. And Mike is, I got to tell you, hysterically funny. The guy will put you in stitches like in 5 minutes. I mean, you'll be dead. I mean, that's just how he works. He's very sneaky like that. Some people call him the comedy ninja. That's right. He's stealthy that way. Mike, are you there?
Comedy ninja.
Yeah, no pressure, huh?
You like the comedy ninja thing?
None, not even a little.
You didn't like it?
How are you doing?
Good, man. Did you have a good Christmas?
Because of the storm, I just stayed here by myself. I didn't go back down. I was supposed to go home to Iowa for Christmas. I just closed the doors and grew a beard.
He just closed it, grew a beard, stood outside of the bell.
Where in Iowa are you from?
I grew up in Mason City, Iowa.
Okay.
It's a little town, north central Iowa.
I used to live in Davenport.
Davenport. Yeah. Yep.
Wow, sucks to be you guys. Davenport.
No, I actually liked Iowa. I thought it was a cool little state.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with
it's
Iowa.
Good place to grow up.
I did my time. I lived in Illinois for a while, and then I moved.
You did your time in Iowa. That's right. Time. It's the new penitentiary, don't you know? But now, Mike, how long have you been doing the comedy circuit?
That's a loaded question there, because there's a difference between how long you've been doing comedy and how long you've been doing the comedy circuit.
Ah, okay. How long have you been involved with comedy? All your life? Always been kind of a funny guy?
No. Oh, okay. Well, okay. I started doing comedy in the early 2000s. I started doing it professionally, a few years after that. And no, I was always a quiet kid growing up. I was never the class clown. That would imply some kind of popularity.
So you weren't the smelly kid, were you?
No, I was kid that nobody noticed. I was the fly on the wall.
So you weren't popular, but you weren't the smelly kid. You were in between.
No, my sister was a cheerleader, so I never got beat up.
Ah, okay.
So there were certain parts. But yeah. I was just quiet. I didn't really come out of my shell until I became an adult.
You have found a lot of success doing comedy, not only traditional comedy of what some people call stand-up, but you also dabble quite a bit in the paranormal realm of comedy as well, don't you?
Yeah, that makes it sound so shady, like I'm dabbling, like I'm doing dabbling. Black magic comedy.
Yes, you are. He's a black magic comic.
That's not the kind of
dabbling
we're talking about.
Yes. Well, okay. But
this is radio and we can't talk about that.
Yeah. Dabbling is never good, kids. Stay away from dabbling.
You'll go blind.
You'll be just like that kid on A Christmas Story. You'll shoot your eye out. I guarantee it.
You will shoot your eye out.
You will. It'll hurt.
I watched that movie that day. That's what I did at Christmas. I watched that movie.
Well, that would be a good Christmas.
With my beard. Yeah.
With your beard. You're combing your beard.
You didn't even have a beer in your beard or your cucumber sandwich or anything like that.
Cucumber sandwich.
Yeah, those are great.
Is that your Christmas tradition?
No, actually, we eat pierogies. I'm Polish, so we eat a lot of Polish food on Christmas. And you get really fat.
Cucumber sandwiches?
Huh. Yeah, I do. I love cucumber sandwiches, though.
Wow. Right. How the hell? Cucumber sandwich just sounds so disgusting. Hey, kids, gather around. It's cucumber sandwich time again. Oh, Dad, please. Yay!
I love pickles, but I hate cucumbers. And I actually thought as a kid that I thought that pickles came first and pickles were turned into cucumbers, because I couldn't believe that something so good could start off so bad. I thought it went the other way. I love pickles, hate cucumbers. There you go.
Well, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. And now, I know that you do a lot of work with the TAPS group over there. You know, their Beyond Reality stuff.
Yep.
You have a lot of, you get to travel. You get to travel all sorts of cool places doing that. What's the coolest place with, you know, that with the paranormal related, rather, what's the best place you've been to?
Well, I mean, actually, my personal favorite one was one that was just kind of for fun, I just went to do it, not for an event or anything, was Alcatraz.
Oh, cool.
Alcatraz prison, and that was pretty sweet. But as far as like the events, it's hard to say, you know, Mount Washington and the Stanley, I mean, they're both really cool. I'm going to Cooperstown, New York on January 8th for one up in upstate New York, the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Man, you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we're going to Eastern State Penitentiary and then return visits to Mount Washington and the Stanley again. So it's pretty cool. I can't complain.
So do you go out for the investigations too?
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of cool because I get to kind of freelance, you know, because I do the comedy up front and then I host and, you know, bring up the speakers and stuff. And then, you know, I can just, like, walk around and go where I just kind of try to listen in and hear where all the cool stuff's happening and then just keep going back there. You know,
yeah,
I'm not really stuck anywhere. So, it's a little greedy of me, but yeah.
Well, yeah, the last time I saw you, you were at the Eveleth building up here in Minnesota. Scotty's been there also. You both have investigated different times this building, and that's the last time I saw you. And I you know, it was a ton of fun. But you're a nut job.
Yeah.
You're a nut job.
I was what?
You're a nut job. You're a lovable nut job. You're just funny. I can't stop laughing at you in a good way. It's not like look at that guy. He's so funny.
No, that's
looking.
Not what he told me.
No, but
I remember that. Wasn't it in the summertime and it was freezing?
It was freezing. It was cold.
It's always freezing in that building.
You and Scotty Roberts.
The coldest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, Scotty
no,
Roberts.
He lives in Canada.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, eh. I live in Canada, eh. But you and Scotty Roberts came up, and I'll never forget. We're sitting in, I think it was Village Inn. And you told this joke that, I don't know how radio-friendly it is, but it was just, do you remember the joke you told?
I have absolutely no idea.
Really? Oh, my God.
See,
but we're sitting there, right? And we're
Mike,
just,
isn't that funny?
There's a talent agent. And a couple walks in.
Well, here we are as we're sitting around this table drinking coffee. And we got it. Let me set the stage for you. We got this.
Okay.
We got an elderly.
I'm sure I'll remember when you start talking about it.
We have an elderly couple to our left. We got a couple cops to our right. And Mike says, yeah, one day I decided to give up smoking and jerking off all in the same day. And I don't know if you remember the rest of the story, but yeah, you did. Well, the upshot is you didn't want your parents to know you smoked.
Thanks. I hope they're not listening to this.
Yeah. So, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. Your little boy smokes. You heard it here first.
No, I quit.
So, Mike, how often do you get that, though? I mean, that's the funny thing about being in comedy. You get a lot of times you go, hey, you remember when you told that funny thing? And you go, okay. Hopefully everything I say is that funny thing, but which funny thing and what time? And,
yes.
You know.
No, usually people just want to tell you their jokes.
True.
Usually what it is. I got one for you, and then they'll tell you some, like, guy walks into a bar, and you heard it, and you just pretend like you go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's funny, dude. Yeah,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, that's a great
thanks.
Joke.
Anyway,
right
you can
there,
use
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Use
yeah.
that. I'm just going to do jokes that I printed off of the internet.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, well, sometimes they're the most, like, vile, racist things you've ever heard. Like, I mean that. Like, oh,
no.
I want to be, Michael Richards. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Exactly.
Someone has to pick up that torch.
So doing comedy, I know you do it for the paranormal crowd, but who is the worst group you do comedy for?
Like the worst demographic kind
yeah.
of thing?
Oh, man. You're being...
Oh.
And I'm going to bring it up because I got one that I hate doing comedy for, but...
Norwegians.
Norwegians.
Mine is...
I'm just kidding. I'm Norwegian. It's See, Swedish. The worst... I mean, I would have
lawyers.
To say, like... What's that?
Mine are lawyers.
Lawyers? Well, you know... If
most
you
pretentious
get them
bunch
all,
I've
when,
ever seen.
If they all have a common job, at least you have something to latch onto.
Right.
Make fun of the boss, talk about lawyers, torts or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But
oh,
you know, it's so exciting. But I think the worst is like every once in a while we'll have to do like they'll just be like 30, 10-year-old there and you're like, "What?"
Yeah, I get.
What are you thinking? I mean, I'm not even a dirty comic, but it's still adult comedy, and that doesn't necessarily even mean that it's dirty. It just means that talking about adult life.
Subject matter,
You know, you want kids there, go get hire a clown, have a balloon guy, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I know there's some kids that are smarter than others and get it, but still. And then the adults clam up, because if you say anything remotely
They talk about cucumbers, and they go, whoa.
Let's not talk about that.
I did a show once for like 5 10-year-old kids, 5 elderly people, and a bishop. It was pointless.
Was there ever a time we did this comedy club
up in Upper Wisconsin? It was like in this little thing got booked in there, and we walk in, and it's before even the show was, and we walk in, and you hear. I swear, I heard like a click of gun, but you hear, "Make me laugh, comedy boys."
Yeah.
Like, oh God, what a night. Yeah,
I hear it all the time when you see people in the lobby and they don't know you're the comic. They're like, this guy better be funny. Like, wow, with that attitude, how could it not be?
Exactly.
Now, was there ever a time in your career where you were the birthday party clown?
Well, I was the birthday party clown? The
clown, that's right. Where they would hire you to go to birthday parties and try to entertain children.
I don't think comedians are.
Do you?
What's that?
I once did. I was hired as a mime, and it was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. And I
did you know how to mime previously?
Yeah, I did, but it was
okay. That's probably a good part of the story then.
Yeah, it was the worst experience I've ever had, and I never mimed the rest of my life. I just it is something that I just will never do.
Mime your own business.
It scarred me for life. It really did.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. I thought that was Joel that was telling that story for a second. I got confused. I was like, well,
it was not me.
I had people ask me to come and pretend to be a stripper. Or no, was it actually be a stripper? They wanted me to pretend to be a cop and then strip. And I'm like, but they didn't ask me. They just asked, they called up a club and said, we need some comics. And like, why would you think that comics, have you seen a comic? We're not exactly in shape. You know, Dane Cook is like the only comic that's in shape in the whole world. No, like, why don't you want us to be humorous stripper? I turned it down. I think some other comic did it and never heard from him again.
he's lost gone. In the comic abyss. You know, the other day, Scotty, I remember the show Full House, as you guys, I'm sure, do. And the only exposure I ever had to Bob Saget was as Danny Tanner. And so Scotty here says, hey, you need to go watch some of his stuff. And I did. And I got to tell you, I'm scarred for life now.
No, Saget is probably the funniest comedian I've ever
known. No.
I never knew how he got landed on that show.
Not that he's funny in interviews. Yeah, not that he's dirty, not funny.
He was dirty before he was on Full House.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like,
he was dirty before then. And I don't know why they even considered picking him at that time.
No, I saw an interview with him, and he said that. He goes, I don't know how I got the job. He goes, I just must be a good agent. He goes, because I don't fit the demographic of these shows at all. But he did some success on it, so.
He must have confused a lot of people when the people that knew him before that.
Well, I did. I mean, I saw his comedy when I was out west, and I was like, "What the heck is he doing on these shows?" So I mean, it was funny. It's funny.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw him. He came to Twin Cities five years ago, maybe, or something. I saw him.
Yeah,
it's pretty dirty.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Don't get me wrong. I found it very humorous. But my God, when you're exposed to Danny Tanner, and then you go to one of his stand-up bits, it's like, whoa.
Well, it works out really well for him, because before Full House and America's Funniest Home Videos, he was, you know, not nationally known. He becomes nationally known off those TV shows, and now he tours, and word's gotten around that he's dirty. So now people are he kills, because people are like, wow, he's dirty. It's Danny Tanner. It worked out pretty well for him.
He's dirty. Yeah. No, when it comes to clubs, do you prefer a big setting, or do you like that smaller, intimate, 30, 40, 50 people?
Oh, it just depends. I mean, you gotta be able to do comedy anywhere, you know. I just did House of Comedy in the Mall of America this past week. The last day was yesterday. And that seats like somewhere between 350 and 400 people.
Right.
Huge ceilings. Wow. And big. You know, that was a lot of fun. And, you know, do some other clubs in town that are smaller. And, it really just depends. I mean, sometimes you like the big one. I mean, it just depends on how many people show up to each one. I think too many comics get used to doing one kind of room and one kind of way. I like to kind of be versatile and be able to change it up. So I don't really have a preference. I just want the crowd to be into it. Doesn't matter the size.
Yeah.
Of the club.
Yeah. Yeah, when I did improv comedy, and we did a show in front of a university for like 400 kids, and we're up doing improv, and the scene just bombed. It was probably the worst scene I've ever done in my life, and getting booed by 400 kids was a little intimidating at times, but you come back in the next scene.
Ooh, you suck.
Yeah, exactly. And they start rooting for you. But I mean, that's all the part of that whole improv. You know, they like seeing people fail, so they don't mind if you suck up once in a while.
Yeah. And you know, I will say though that like in a little basement room where there's low ceilings and it crams in 100 people and it's sold out. Like, I mean, those kind of rooms you can kill there. Like you can't anywhere else. I mean, just where everybody's elbow to elbow. But.
Oh, sure. But yeah, on that note, guys, it's already break time. First break of the night. We already hit it. This time is just flying already with Mike. We come back, we're going to talk more comedy, all that kind of good stuff, and maybe even he's going to talk a little bit about ghosts every now and again. I bet she's got some insight, funny insight on the world of the paranormal. After this.
Station identification.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglenmorrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
Hi, I'm Paulette Carlson. Do you really know what your child is doing right now? Caring parents just like you of 15,000 children who died of drug abuse and violence in the last 6 months thought they knew too. Working hand-in-hand with Vietnam Veterans of America, Veterans Against Drugs, through their Commitment to Life program, wants to put an end to drug abuse, violence, and the fear you have for your child's future. Please help me and other caring parents by visiting the Veterans Against Drugs website at vva.org.
There's a storm brewing in this country. A storm of apathy towards some of our most historic landmarks, like Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the fort that saved America. It held the British at bay while George Washington went upriver to Valley Forge. Now it's in danger of being shut down. There are people who are weathering this storm.
This is Barbara Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
This is Anthony Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
But they can't do it alone. They need our help. Go to www.myspace.com/SaveFortMifflin or www.fortmifflin.com. Together, we can make a difference. Let's save Fort Mifflin and turn the tide of apathy.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to Z-Talk Live. Actually, we went somewhere you didn't, so we're back. That's right, we're back. Right back here at ztalkradio.com, as well as UPRN 105.5 FM and Haunted Voices Radio. So I want to give a warm hello to everybody out there that's listening to us on those fine stations. And we also have a new one that joined the fold a couple weeks ago. We have Z-Talk Rocks. That's right.
That it is rocks,
our, it
man.
Does rock. That is our newest station to join part of the Z-Talk family, and that is dedicated to talk radio plus rock and roll radio. It's a fun time over there, great atmosphere, ton of fun to be there. But we are back, right back here in Mike Brody. Mike, when we left, we were kind of talking about different venues, different things that you like to do as a comic. Do you find the paranormal field or people in the paranormal more specifically are able to laugh at themselves a little easier than other groups of people?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, I mean, I don't know compared to other people. I mean, anytime you have a specific group of people and you're catering to their kind of thing, I mean, they seem to kind of enjoy that, you know? But as far as, like, me, you know, it's hard not to. I mean, I love the paranormal, but it's hard not to make fun of it. It's funny, you know? And they always seem to have a good sense of humor about it, and nobody's really gotten mad about anything. So I'm not really, like...
No, that's good. I mean, no one's firebombed your house or slash the tires on your car.
I had one lady told me I shouldn't joke about succubuses or succubi.
What a name.
No, that's funny.
I didn't find out why she was, you know, I don't think I want to know. But
with a name like succubi.
Really funny, but don't talk about succubi.
With a name like succubi, you have to make fun of it.
You have to make, yeah.
Boy, that really sucks.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah, or
no,
even
that was funny, Joel.
We'll use that one. Thanks.
Yeah,
man.
Or even the ever dreaded Ouija board. Those are always fun to make jokes about that too. They can't spell.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because it'd be one thing if it was just going to random letters and it wasn't spelling. Sort of. So is it just the person that you're with can't spell? I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. And, you know, they're texting really is what they're doing, is they're texting you now.
I am a bad speller, LOL.
LOL.
If you know that, you better hang up right away.
Oh, man. So, no. Seriously. God, Scotty. Anyhow, you got your start in comedy. Who has been that guy or that individual that has mentored you in comedy?
Gallagher, actually. I met him in Kentucky. I'm just kidding.
Gallagher's
hilarious. You know, you never know. Actually, Gallagher infamously hates openers. So.
Well, he was an opener once, too, though. He shouldn't hate you because he was there once, too.
I don't know. He prefers to not have it. I've never worked with him. I've never met the guy, but I've read about him lately. He's trying to make a comeback, and he'll oftentimes walk up on stage and interrupt the opener and like make fun of him and stuff. And one of my friends, or a guy who I know, who's a really really good comic, been on Comedy Central, really sharp. You know, not 20 years past his prime. You know, opened for him.
Oh.
And it was like the wrong guy. You know, he just assumed that he could manhandle any, you know, comic, you know, because he's Gallagher. And he's wearing his black and white striped shirt, you know, and he goes up and he, like, tries to interrupt my friend during comedy. And my friend goes, I don't have to take this crap from someone dressed like the Cookie Crisp burglar. It just destroyed him on stage. Backfired.
Speaking of comics, though, they're trying to make a comeback. Has anybody seen how pumped up Carrot Top is these days?
Yeah, he's
he's a juicer. I think.
Oh yeah, what did he start doing?
I mean, I can't picture, but why would he do that? That doesn't, you know, you're supposed to be this spindly little nerd, and then now you're.
He hangs out with Chris Angel all the time, so that's why he's, you know, he needs to pump himself up. He's getting all the chicks.
It's a little disturbing. Some people just shouldn't look like that. Yeah. I don't think Carrot Top should. You know, next Screech and Urkel are going to do it. It's like.
Dustin Diamond, man. I want to mess with him. I've seen him on those beat you up, those celebrity things. He's kind of a
I hung out with him once.
Did you?
I did a show with Dustin Diamond.
You did a show with Screech?
Week, actually.
Could you call him Screech?
No, you weren't supposed to call him Screech.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think that he would have. He was he probably wouldn't have freaked. It would have been weird if I called him Screech. Other people, it's kind of one of those things where they say, don't call him Screech, but then in real life, people come up to me, well, I hear you get mad if people call you Screech. He's like, no, I don't care, but I think he's just saying that.
Yeah.
Everybody told me that he's like the biggest jerk ever and blah,
really?
Blah, blah. And when I hung out with him, he was actually really nice. I just think he's a guy who was a child star.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably had a very weird, awkward upbringing in the limelight. And, he was just kind of a nerd. He kind of had a front at first, but once he realized I wasn't going to go, do a bunch of crazy, weird screech things with him, like, he just came back to my room and we talked about music and stuff like that. He was actually very nice to me. So,
well, years ago,
I have nothing bad to say to him.
Years ago, I had to interview, Elvira, right? Cassandra, I forget her last name, Peterson. I was interviewing her, and before the interview started, her publicist tells me, whatever you do, do not call her Elvira under any circumstances. And so you had that little nugget planted in the back of your head when you go live. So you're talking about yada, yada, yada. And you're saying, yes, Cassandra Peterson is here with us today. We're talking about her film career. Third break rolls around. It's going really well. She's loosened up. She's having fun. We're laughing during the break. We come back, and I say, we're back right here with Elvira. Click. Me.
Wow.
Not even a, hey, don't do that. Not even nothing. It was just a straight right to dial tone.
Well, it's one thing if somebody is Jack Nicholson or Billy Crystal or something, but Elvira's not exactly an A-list,
No, it was during Halloween.
Every interview she gets.
Yeah, it was like during Halloween time, and they were trying to get the Mistress of the Dark on. But see, the Mistress of the Dark didn't really want to be the Mistress of the Dark anymore, which kind of shot to hell whatever thing I was trying to do. She didn't do her shtick, as they call it. The Mistress of the Dark.
Well, didn't she steal that from Vampira, from Plan 9 from Outer Space?
I think she did. I think she did. She's a thief.
Yeah.
But see,
when I was working with Dustin Diamond, myself and the opener, who was my roommate at the time, we practiced for weeks. We're like, how are you doing, Dustin Diamond? Nice to meet you, Dustin Diamond. Would you like a cheeseburger, Dustin Diamond? Because it's hard. It's really, Dustin Diamond.
Is that his real last name?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Diamond? It's Dustin Diamond is his real name? God-given Christian name?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I don't think it's a Christian. I think he's Jewish, isn't he?
Yeah, Jewish, okay, his given name by his parents. Yeah. I mean, who the hell? Dustin Diamond. That's right. But, my child will be known.
Okay, I have a question for you, Mike. We're talking about openers and, headliners and all that. Did you ever have one where you moved up in the weekend? And, because a lot of times the opener stays the opener for the weekend. I had once where we came on and our headliners just sucked. And we ended up moving ahead of him for the weekend, and he got so pissed at us. And I said, if your shit didn't suck, you shouldn't be on the air. You know what I mean? So it was one of those things.
Never had that happen. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, because what I was saying is a lot of it happens. I know because you've been hanging out with the paranormal is in comedy, a lot of people have the same thing, this ego that they have to be always number one. They always have to be better than anyone instead of going out and just entertaining. Have you noticed that even in the paranormal, now that you do comedy for the paranormal?
I noticed things. I mean, I try not to worry too much about if there's somebody that's being weird about stuff. I just try to ignore it because, I know what you're talking about. Like, you'll do a show, a comedy show, and I don't know if it's because of Last Comic Standing or just the reality show environment that we live in now, but people always want to be like, you were better than you, and you should have been doing this, and you should have headlined, and you should have, and I've been on both sides of the fence. Like, every comic has. Every comic opening up had somebody, and you should have been the headliner, and then they've headlined and had them say the opposite. It's just one person's opinion. Maybe 99% of the rest of the crowd thought the other thing, but I don't like that because it's a team. Like, I don't sit there and go, I'm going to bury this guy, and I'm going to do way better. We're having a show. Like, I want all three comics, if that's how many are on the bill, to have a great show. I mean, and a lot of times they're my friends that are up there. Like, so, I mean, yeah, I want to do as well as I can, but I don't like seeing other people fail. So I don't get it. People always want us to compete, and I don't want to prove.
Yeah, like shows.
And it really hasn't come up at all in the paranormal stuff with me because
It happens to a lot of us in the paranormal world. This competition always has to be a competition instead of working together and having fun doing it. You know what I mean? That's the stuff that drives me crazy. It drove me crazy when I was doing comedy, and it drives me crazy now that I'm in the paranormal world, is that everything's got to be a competition with so many people. It says just stop it and have fun once.
Well, luckily, I have kind of a unique situation where I don't really, I'm fully aware of it in the paranormal world because I have the internet. And, you know, you read it and it, but I don't really get involved in it because I don't really need to. I'm not a part of a group. Like, I don't, you know, I do shows for Beyond Reality and stuff like that, but I, being a full-time comic, I don't really have time to join a paranormal team. And because of these events, I've gotten my name out there a bit, so basically, I can just kind of hook up with what I have been doing. Is just if I'm in a town and be like, hey, can I just scoot along with you guys? And I'll be like, sure. You know, and then I get to meet more people, and I get to go with all these different groups who are sometimes rivals of each other, and just stay out of it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to compete, you know. And even in the paranormal comedy, there's been a couple comics that have started doing it after me.
Right.
And if there's three guys that do it in the whole country, who cares? You know, right, they haven't been a threat to me, and some of them are my friends. You know, it's almost kind of flattering. Like, oh, you know, because I mean, well, there was a guy that did. There was a guy that did. Speaking of improv, Dean Haglund has been doing it for years. He does improv.
Yeah,
which
I know
is a
Dean.
Different. It's different. Dean was kind on, of, you know, and you know, comedy, improv, and stand up are two.
Wasn't Dean cousins. On the X-Files?
Yes, he was on X-Files.
Yeah, I did. I worked with him when we were in Victoria together. We worked together up there. And Dean is hilarious.
Yeah. I've never met him. I'd like to meet him sometime.
Yeah, he's really funny.
Well, you're
really good guy.
You're kind of the trailblazer when it comes to this genre of comedy.
It just kind of happened. It was just kind of like, everything just kind of fell into line, into place.
Well, you know, what bulb went off in your head to say, I got it. I'm going to do paranormal comedy. That's what I'm going to do. And whatever you decide to do apparently has worked great for yourself. I mean, you know. Go ahead.
Well, it didn't. There really wasn't a light bulb in my head, and I think that's why it has worked well, because it's pretty natural for me. I didn't sit down and go, like, okay, you know, what genre can I capture and make a bunch of money, like dogs? Can I do Pomeranian dog shows? Like, no, I don't know that. You know, like, hairstylist? Like, no.
Exactly.
Oh, paranormal. You know, I just have always been interested in paranormal. And I always, you know, you write about what you know and what you're interested in. And I just started writing jokes. And then is when everybody's using MySpace, I sent them all, put them on people's pages, you know. And Amy Bruni, before she was on Ghost Hunters, I'd heard of her because she was the producer for Beyond Reality Radio, and that was still on. But she just emailed me and said, you know, and we became friends on MySpace, and she's like, hey, you want to maybe try out doing comedy at her thing, see how it goes? Did it, it went great, and then next thing you know, now I'm writing, you know, for GhostVillage.com and having a great time. It really was almost effortless, the whole thing.
Cool. I mean, no, that's great when stuff like that happens to people like yourself that are truly humble and truly, yeah, I mean, just out there doing your own thing, not really worried about what other people think of you, number one. And I think that's another key to success. You haven't been overly worried about, oh, what's this person going to think about me kind of thing going on. And I think,
right.
Really,
well,
I mean, it's kind of freed you up to be you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
You know, absolutely, and the thing of it is, you know, there's going to be, as you become more successful, and I've seen this in radio over the years, you're going to have more and more imitators out there. It's just the nature of the beast. It's going to happen, you know. But you can always take pride in the fact that you were the first,
right? And you know what? There's all different kinds of paranormal conferences. I can't do them all. Let somebody else do it, you know?
There you go.
I mean, honestly, like, I look at it this way. I mean, I got kind of lucky where, like, you know, everybody has a different opinion of what's the best paranormal TV show or radio show or whatever, but as far as, like, recognition and the famousness, if that's a word, I mean, Ghost Hunters, it's hard to argue. That's kind of the big one, you know, that most people know. You know, people know Paranormal State, but you see what I'm saying. Like, I kind of got lucky and just kind of started with the biggest one, so...
Yeah,
other people can go and do the other ones if they want. I kind of got lucky and went right to the top.
Well, you know, Ghost Hunters is ghost. The term Ghost Hunter is now the new Band-Aid, if you know what I mean. It's the hallmark of the field, Ghost Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before that came along, it really wasn't the catchphrase it is now. When you say Ghost Hunter, people know exactly what you're talking about. If you say paranormal psychologist. a lot of people will kind of still scratch their head and say, what's that? You help ghosts right. with their mental disorders?
Well, it wasn't, you know, Most Haunted Live was around first, I believe, but that you can't really... I'm a Most Haunted Live.
Most Haunted, yeah. Most Haunted was... Yeah, they were there first.
See, no, you're messing that up with Z-Talk Live, which we paid you before the show to say that.
That's right.
Now I'm taking the money back because you did not say we were the best, so sorry, dude.
But on that note, guys, we have to run to our top of the hour break. Your Fox News is right after this.
Yes, Fox News.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh, my God.
Good luck keeping up with us.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Airport security stepped up after a Nigerian man allegedly came close to blowing up a Northwest Airlines jumbo jet on Christmas Day.
Passengers arriving at the international terminal say increased security did mean longer wait times and lines.
They had 100% check on all the passengers boarding, so they pat you down and go through all your bags again.
Most were understanding.
We were angry about, you know, but there's not a whole lot we can do about it.
While on planes, everyone had to stay seated the last hour with nothing in their laps, though authorities now say those rules will be left to the discretion of individual pilots. At LAX, Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
And Canada now banning most carry-on luggage on board U.S.-bound flights to alleviate lines at security checkpoints. The State Department says it warned counter-terror agencies about the terror suspect after his Nigerian father informed authorities he had been radicalized and left home to wage jihad. Officials in Yemen say the man had been in that country from August until earlier this month. President Obama calling for a review of the terror watch list.
Apparently, the suspect in the Christmas incident was in this system, but not on a watch list such as the so-called no-fly list. So I've ordered a thorough review, not only of how information related to the subject was handled, but of the overall watch list system and how it can be strengthened.
The president also wants airport screening procedures evaluated. President Obama cutting a golf game short in Hawaii with an ambulance racing to the family's rental compound on Oahu.
An ambulance came in, picked somebody up, and took them off to the hospital. Turned out to be a family friend who apparently had a surfing accident, but the first family is fine. Nothing wrong with them, but certainly an unusual day for the president and the first family. Everybody fine.
Fox's Steve Santani. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News Talk salutes our listeners in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania. For listening to Fox News Talk, and stay tuned as we continue our salute to the 50 states of freedom.
Neighbors say the complex had electrical problems. 9 people killed in an apartment fire in Starkville, Mississippi.
We believe at this point there's a 4-month-old female, a 2-year-old male, a 4-year-old male, a 5-year-old female, a 5-year-old male, a 6-year-old male, a 19-year-old friend, and another 19-year-old friend, a female, and a 25-year-old female.
State Fire Marshal Mike Cheney, some relatives reportedly staying in the apartment because they had nowhere else to go. The U.S. condemning Israel's plans to build 700 apartments for Jews in East Jerusalem, where Palestinians hope to locate the capital of a future state. Back in business, a Miami luxury hotel tries to recover from a health scare.
The Epic Hotel is once again taking reservations after it was forced to relocate vacationers when some former guests
guests got sick with Legionnaire's disease. One person actually died from it, but Miami-Dade health inspectors haven't concluded the Kimpton-owned luxury hotel was the source of the disease. They did find the hotel's water filtration system to be so powerful, it was removing the added chlorine used to kill off bacteria. The hotel has since flushed the water pipes and replaced the filtration system, and officials say the hotel is safe for guests. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
2009, not your favorite year? Feel free to say good riddance.
My husband had...
Consider it a cleansing, a literal out with the old for those leaving 2009 with a pink slip, big bill, or bad diagnosis, a perfect way to purge the past.
Today's the day to really say good riddance to those bad memories of 2009 so you can start 2010 with a nice clean slate.
Laurie Raimondo with the Times Square Alliance says for the third annual Good Riddance Day, folks can shred, flatten, or decimate memories they like to forget.
We have a giant shredder set up in the middle of Times Square.
And sledgehammers for larger items as well. That's Lori London. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it.
You're listening to Hanging with Betsy Radio Network.
Available at Amazon.com.
All right, we are back. Sorry about the little bit of a glitch. My Sam decided to glitch just a little bit. Yeah, I know. It always happens at the worst possible time that you get
I've been remiss tonight, Joel. I haven't even said the phone number once this evening.
No, we've been so engaged with Mike over here that we forgot to open up the phone lines.
Yeah, the phone lines are open now. Our phone number, as always, is 262-672-2488. 262-672-2488 or 262-ORBIT, O-R-B-B-I-T-T, to be on the show with your calls.
That's right. Give us a jingle. You know, talk with Mike, ask him about comedy, all that kind of good stuff. Now, you guys are talking. While we were in break, Scotty, you had a great question to ask him.
Yeah, we were talking about improv versus stand-up. What do you think is harder and what do you think is easier?
Well, I mean, it's two very different things. I mean, I guess, I was thinking that I'd never done improv, but I guess I have a couple. Early on, technically, I've done improv during a comedy competition in, 2002. At the end of the show, they're like, oh, we're going to do improv. And I don't know how to do improv. And it's okay. You just say stuff. Okay. And I didn't know any of the rules, and I respect improv, so I didn't want to do it because I knew that it takes training, but I didn't know you're supposed to do yes and. You can't say yes, no. Right. You don't talk to the audience, It was just it. People are like, are you an alien? I'm like, no.
You can't say no?
No, the reason...
Well, you can't say no because it's a dead end, You got to...
See, you got to keep it going.
How can you create a scene and keep talking if you say no all the time? Hey, let's go down to the deli. No. Okay, hey, let's go to the gas station. No. Hey, what do you want to do? Nothing. That's not a very funny scene.
So you can't use any negatives.
Right. I will say this. I think both stand-up and improv take a lot of skill to do well. I do, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, I do think that someone can be very good at improv and not be a very funny person in the classical sense, because you just have to be a good actor. If somebody says you're wearing a salami hat, you just act like you have salami on a hat, and then just be very serious. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%. And I've run into some of those people that weren't very funny,
right.
and in the improv field. Whereas I think that's where in stand-up, you're a little bit more out there compared to when I did improv, is because as improv, I had a troupe, and we knew the guys, and we were able to work really close to each other, and we knew each other so well that we were able to play off, and we knew our tendencies and stuff like that. Where you, Mike, you go out and do it by yourself. And that's where I always, I mean, even though I like being in front of crowds, I'm on the radio and all that stuff too. It to me, that's where it was more. And these are the ones you created, you know, for it. And I always never knew, and I still don't know. I mean, I do know, but, you know, when you have material and it doesn't go well, that's still your material. Where improv, I can change. I can change up and I can do something stupid, like drop my pants and everyone will laugh and the show will be funny then all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Whereas if your material's bombing, then your material's bombing.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can always talk to the crowd, too, if you have to. You know, there's little things you can do.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Seinfeld made a living with, what's the deal with, forever. Right. I mean, I never found that particularly funny, and that's just me, though. I mean, Jerry, a lot of people love him. I just never found that particular type of comedy very funny.
Well, it was of an era, you know, the 80s comedy. You know, that was the topical... what do they call it? I can't remember the word. Something very simple, but observant, whatever.
Yeah,
was very 80s, you know, and it was new then. But, you know, it got stale by the 90s or whatever. And by then, he was already on a sitcom, so.
Well, yeah, he already had his career done with, pretty much. I mean, he already, you know, cemented himself in comedy and had a sitcom that was, you know, went on for like 10 years. So, I mean, he did very well for himself towards the end. But in comedy, I suppose you constantly have to be evolving. You can't ever let go.
Comedy doesn't weather very well. I mean, you look at Lenny Bruce, or even like Richard Pryor, people who are like, you know, the pinnacles of comedy and the greatest ever, and, you know, influenced. You can't even stress enough how much they influenced comedy. And you go back and listen to some of their stuff in the '60s, or maybe with Richard Pryor the '70s or whatever. You know, it's not. You listen to it now, and you go, well, it's. I don't. I guess it was funny then. You know, like it was. It was brilliant then. But like, humor really has to stay fresh.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds sacrilegious. I'm not saying that Richard Pryor isn't one of the greatest ever. I mean, he absolutely is. But it's just in that time it was, and now, you know, those jokes. You know, you hear things get old over 30 years. You
well,
know?
Yeah. Like if you go to watch, let's just say for instance, Eddie Murphy Raw. Okay.
Yeah.
Back then, that was killing. Now it get him booed out of the stadium. Or where
now you look at it. Now you look at it, and you go back to him, and you go, sell out. You know.
Well, I actually do wear his leather suit he wears. That's my
face. Oh my god! Yeah, you would look good in it, man.
Oh, I do.
I bet.
I do.
I that would look great.
Well, it's hard to believe Eddie Murphy's the same guy that's in Shrek and all these Disney movies.
No, that's my point. No. I mean, because when one of his gigs back then was this whole thing about how black people don't talk back in movies, you know, and if there's a scary movie or if the ghost came in his house, he'd leave and go, I'm out of here, you know, that whole sketch of that. And now he's in Disney's Haunted Mansion and all this stuff. I mean, you could see he went with the money.
He switched gears because he was way funny during Saturday Night Live. You know, when he was on Saturday Night Live, that was just hilarious. Buckwheat Sings the Blues, stuff like that. That was good stuff.
If you're getting he gets somewhere between. I mean, I heard he's still, even though he's had a lot of bombs lately, he still makes a big amount of money. He makes somewhere between 10 to 20 million or something like that for movies.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, I would do it.
That's crazy.
You know, you can have all these comics going like, I'd never be Larry the Cable Guy. Screw that guy. He makes $250,000 a show. I'd
really?
Think about it.
See, I don't find Larry particularly funny, but see, that's a different type of comedy. See, he caters, I noticed, just by watching the stuff he puts out there, he caters to the southern crowd more than he does the northern crowd.
Oh, there's hillbillies everywhere.
No, I agree, but
trust
by and large.
There's a lot up by you in Evelyn.
Well, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is, yeah. No, I mean...
Well, you know Larry the Cable Guy, his name is Dan, he's from Nebraska. You didn't know that? He's a northerner. He's not even, he went to a private school in Nebraska until he was 16, then he moved to Orlando.
You're
kidding me. Look up Dan Whitney, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y. If you look him up on YouTube, there's a video of him from the 80s and 90s. He's wearing a collared shirt with Dockers tucked in with these big white shoes, and he's like, hey guys, how's it going? Like, he's completely northern.
Oh my gosh.
Love it.
Oh yeah, it's and I get it. When I saw that, it kind of humanized him, because before I was like, oh, this is stupid, but no, he spent 20 years on the road being just this regular northern guy, like, you know, doing okay, getting on TV, but still struggling, you know. And then suddenly, you know, he does this southern character that really takes off, and he's a millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
I don't blame him one bit.
I mean, I think
you gotta take success when it comes.
Exactly. And if that's the thing that brought him to the dance, so to speak, then that's what he has to keep doing. Because you know,
and I appreciate, like, I like fans that are, you know, artistic. You know, I'm not one of those, like, you know, I'm not a Nickelback fan. No offense if anybody is. I'm just saying. I like more like kind of like underground punk rock stuff. Like, I'm into, like, but I understand. You know, like, I think, you know, I mean, you could look at, like, am I going to spend the rest of my life, you know, being this kind of unsuccessful road comic, or am I going to, you know, retire in the Bahamas?
Well, then whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I think I'd make that choice. I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, it's a choice at that point.
Well, then you have guys like Dave Chappelle out there. Dave Chappelle is riding high. And then
sure. No. You could be famous and rich and be artistic.
Out of nowhere, though, he had a great Comedy Central show. Next thing you know, he's gone. Never to be heard from again.
Well, he still does stand-up. I think he got, it's kind of like that Kurt Cobain kind of thing where you get too big and you freak out.
Yeah. True. I mean, success can be a very heavy burden at times.
Yeah, and apparently he couldn't do a show without people yelling out Rick James and stuff like that. And, I mean, that's kind of a boo-hoo, I mean, in my book.
Right, you make it or not.
Yeah. Well, exactly. No, exactly. I mean, what happens is I've noticed over the years a lot of comics that were hot were what some would call a one-trick pony. And once that pony's kind of left the stable, they're kind of done for.
Dane Cook, he was really, really, really popular for a while, and now people are like, seem like they're kind of done with him. And right now, and this is how I knew who was going to be the next big one, because you can always tell when somebody goes, oh, you're a comic, you know who I like? They would always go, you know who I like? Dane Cook. And then, like, he got really big, and nobody says it anymore. Now everybody says Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, right. Jeff
That's
is funny.
That's the one that everybody...
But Jeff's hit it, too, already. Jeff's already jumped the shark, because if you watch the show...
Well, he's a ventriloquist, and people are going to get sick of him real fast, because he has puppets. I'm sorry, but it's hard to respect a guy with puppets. It just is.
I mean, some of his stuff is really funny, but then he went on that TV show he's got now, and that is a piece of dog crap.
I didn't know he had a TV show.
Yeah, it's the Jeff Dunham show. It's bad. It's a half hour little dealy bob, and it is nasty. I mean, I used to laugh at his stuff. I thought it was quite clever, you know, and his little puppet, the dead terrorist. I mean, that's funny stuff, you know. But once again, you get to a point where you're like, you're jumping, man. This is
He's been around forever. I mean, he's got to be around for 20 years at least, maybe 15, 20 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, oh, this new guy, Jeff Dunham. Like, it's like on the Grammys when, like, Kid Rock got Best New Artist.
What happened? Kid Rock got Best New
Kid
Artist?
Kid Rock got, like, a Best New Artist on, like, his seventh album or something.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's
yeah. Well, the... also in 1992, Firehouse got Best New Artist over Nirvana, which is like,
blasphemy.
Take a look back. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's some Firehouse fans. I'm not trying to crap on the Firehouse fans, but you know, who's going to leave a bigger footprint on music, Nirvana or Firehouse?
Let me think about that. Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing, who's on Guitar Hero and who isn't?
I bet there's a hair version that Firehouse is on.
Maybe out there, if you look really hard, you might be able to find it. But, I mean, even Andrew Dice Clay was funny back in the day.
No, he's trying to make a comeback now. You see him around a lot.
You know, I mean, he was that risky comic. That comic that really, you found him repulsive more than you did funny a lot of times.
I was a little kid back then, so it was like...
Oh, so was I, yeah. I was too. I didn't see him...
I wasn't,
until,
so stop it.
Until I actually followed him on video a few years ago. I never really watched much of his stuff till I was, in my 20s. I followed him on video, and it's like, wow, this guy, yeah, his dirty nursery rhymes, all that kind of stuff. But what I think did him in was there again, like we've talked about all night, and like what you said, unable to change the times.
Yeah. Well, he's another guy that's a character. I mean, I honestly think that he's been doing that character for so long that he actually kind of became it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, he was, I remember reading something about him saying, you know, like, he was like, oh, I was just some Jewish kid from Brooklyn, you know, or whatever. And then he took on this persona of almost kind of like Italian kind of guy, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he almost,
hey, you know, and then,
yeah.
And then and now you see my interviews, and like, I don't know if he's playing a part or if he actually believes it now, but I don't know. Well, he's making some money now because he's, it's kind of like, he says he never went away, but let's be honest.
Yeah, he went away. He has what they call in radio circles Bela Lugosi-ism. Because Bela Lugosi, he got typecast. He was stuck. He was, you know, the horror movie icon. And right. just like Dice Clay was the shock comedy icon. When that comedy kind of hit the skid, so did he.
Well, and, you know, and I just want to say for the record that I'm well aware that I'm nobody, so I'm not, you know, these guys are all guys that had humongous success. You know,
no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Their success, so I'm not, just want to throw that out there. But
yeah. you have great insight to where the field or the, you know, the craft is going. You're able to see where it's going. You have the benefit of watching the people that came before you, and I'm sure that there's a ton of people that are going to be coming after you. That that are going to look at you someday, or even Scotty and I in radio one day, and say, "Yeah, those guys are great."
You know, the '80s was a humongous boom for comedy, and as much as it paved the way, and like without '80s comedy, and you know, to some extent, like '70s comedy, with like when the comedy clubs started going all across the country, paved the way for what I do now. Because before it was vaudeville, Catskills kind of stuff, you know. But the comedy club that paved the way. So we wouldn't be here without them, but at the same time, I've learned so much from all their mistakes. Like, I've seen so many, you know, old bitter cats that just,
sure.
Either just from them whining or being bitter, or them actually telling me specifically what they did wrong.
Wow.
You know?
Wow, to share.
And it really is kind of insightful. You're like, I'll just do the opposite of what you did.
Yeah, to share that kind of insight is awesome, but we got to go ahead and run it back. We have to run to our next break, and we'll be right back after this with more Mike Brody, and we're going to talk a little more about comedy. Maybe we'll even get him to crack a joke. We'll be right back after this.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of ZTalk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and ZTalk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests, and much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
Hi, I'm Paulette Carlson. Veterans Against Drugs is a united effort working with the Vietnam Veterans of America and local anti-drug programs, the clergy, law enforcement, and educators to find ways to reduce the effects of drugs and violence on our youth. Remember the word D-R-U-G-S. Don't ruin useful gifts stupidly. America is depending on its youth for the future and depending on you to support Veterans Against Drugs. Please contact us at VVA.org.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail,
and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed, available at Amazon.com.
We're the station that beats all the competition, and we'll prove it as soon as we hear any competition.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And Z-Talk Live right back at you. Once again, affecting your eardrums right here with Mike Brody, comic Mike Brody. We're talking a lot about the industry as a whole and where it's going and what's happening, all that kind of good stuff. Mike, what do you think about insult comedy?
Like Don Rickles?
I love that stuff, man. I love when they lay the leather to those guys.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's funny. I mean, I love that stuff. I love the roast. Greg Giraldo is one of my favorite comics, and he's one of the guys that you see a lot on the Comedy Central roast, like with Jeffrey Ross, that kind of thing. And,
yeah, Jeffrey it's Ross great. Is hilarious.
Yeah. He really is. He's really created, I mean, speaking of like a niche, you know, like he's kind of known as that guy, you know?
Yes. Right. He's the insult.
He's always, isn't he always the roast master, at least?
Yeah, Jeffrey Ross is either there or pretty close thereof, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, he, that Friars group is probably the funniest things I've ever seen. It's just incredible.
Yeah. You always got to be careful because, I mean, I mean, some people can get mad, you know? Like, some of the stuff is vicious.
Yeah, I was asked when I was on another radio station before this, they said that somebody wrote me and said, hey, can you go and do a roast of the owners of the station? And I said, okay, do you want me to do a comedy bit on the owners or do you want me to really do a roast? And I'm being specific to you right now. I said, what do you want me to do? Because I am not going to do a roast if you just want me to do some comedy jokes about them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because a roast is a very different ballgame. Mm-hmm. And it's one that you find personal stuff, and then you know, and then you go after them. You know, and it's a lot different. It really is. It's a different writing technique. And they said, no, we want a roast, and we did a roast.
I've been involved in about three or four, maybe in five roasts, and I've never been comfortable until they were done.
Right, exactly. You're like, oh, is this going to work or not?
Well, right. When you're roasting these people, now, when you did your roast to the station owner, Scotty, did they get mad? Or did you have to keep it very rated PG?
No, I didn't keep it. Yeah, I had to take out, I got close.
Yeah, I mean, you just couldn't, you really couldn't go all the places where you really wanted
where
to.
Where I wanted to, like, for example, if we were over here at Z-Talk.
Yeah.
Because here, you can say whatever you want and do whatever you want and that type of thing. Over there, I had to be kind of clean in my language, but I didn't. I went for the gusto on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna take the chance to do a roast and not do it. Because you know? A roast is fun.
No, I would. Yeah, or you could have done This Is Your Life.
No, those are terrible.
No, really? See, now I thought some of those are really well done and funny, but I know what you mean. I mean, you know, This Is Your Life can either go one of two ways.
Yeah.
They haven't done those since the 50s, have they?
Yeah, I know.
Well, once in a while.
Thanks for living in the past, man.
it's too uplifting for today's television.
Yes. Well,
because you know, anything that's uplifting on TV still has to have a horrible tragedy to it. Like, oh, we're going to give you a new house because it burned down.
Yeah.
You know, like it always has to have some. It can't just be like, hey, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I watched those roasts though. Getting back to the roasts for a minute on Comedy Central, and yeah, they're vicious. I mean, some of them are no holds barred, man.
Yeah.
They dredge up nasty stuff.
I mean, I wonder if they... I mean, they must have... If they sell those on DVD, the special features, the extras have to be great.
Oh, my God.
Because there's probably some stuff they can't even... I mean, well, they do have the uncensored, don't they? They play the one... Sometimes after midnight, they'll play the uncensored roast.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah, like for Pamela Anderson or...
Well, Hugh Hefner.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And they did the Hugh one. That was funny.
Now, why?
Yeah, that was a good one.
The Hugh one would have been great. I mean, you know, really, when you roast Hugh, you're just roasting from jealousy.
Oh, yeah. He was just laughing the whole time. He knew. You know, with that look of like, yeah, laughing up.
Yeah.
I have a mansion and seven hot girlfriends.
Look at me and look at you.
And whatever.
I live.
You don't have any, man.
I live in a smoking jacket, and I have really hot chicks around me all the time. And you live in a cardboard box, and you drive an 83
Yugo. And you're Carrot Top.
Yeah, and you're Carrot Top. No matter how big your biceps get, Carrot Top, you're still Carrot Top.
Yeah, so, he's always in those, and he actually is funny sometimes, you know.
Maybe I like Carrot Tops.
Now, does he do that prop comedy, it's called? Or,
yes.
He's a prop comic. It's like Gallagher and prop comedy, yep.
Wow, that'd be tough to do.
All right, so let's kind of switch the gears. I know we've been talking comedy, and I know you do paranormal comedy. So, and you said you like you freelance, and that's what I do right now. I freelance from group to group. It's a lot more fun that way. With it, so you've been on these investigations. What have you encountered, or what kind of evidence have you found?
Well, I mean, the term evidence, I mean, I don't even know if I really like the word evidence because
we don't
none
either,
of the stuff
but everybody
that I,
uses it, so that's why we use it.
Right. Because really, I don't think I've
really
ever.
Data.
Yeah, because I don't think there's anything I've ever gotten or anybody else has ever shown me that I could be like, that's irrefutable proof. I mean, to me, that's evidence, you know? Like a fingerprint in a crime scene is evidence, you know? Like, I have EVPs that I've gotten where, you know, there's a crazy voice saying, open up, you know? But I can't prove to anybody that I didn't say that, you know? I know, it's almost as if, like, if we were talking on the phone right now and we record it and we played it back and then right in the middle of it, somebody goes, boop, and then like, you're like, wow, we didn't say that, you know, because we know we didn't say that, but
right.
I guess if we were on the radio, we could have proven that, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I understand.
So, you know, I never, because I don't 100% say that I believe in ghosts. I think I do. I think the ghosts exist, but, you know, I can't prove anything. And, you know, maybe I'm crazy or maybe I've wished it to happen, you know, just wanted it to happen so much that I thought I saw it, you know. I don't like to put things in absolutes like that, you know. But that being said, I have, you know, like, experienced things that I believe, you know, happened, you know, like being touched on the foot, like in a really, like it doesn't just feel like somebody tapping you. It felt like a cylindrical, like, bolt of energy going through my foot and like touched on the back of the head, you know, shadow figures and hearing voices breathing right next to me when nobody's there. Stuff that probably would get me labeled as a schizophrenic.
You know,
it's not ghost,
you know,
man.
You did the Eveleth building up by Joel and in the place we got a voice there too that says, can we go? And we had two ladies in the room down in the boardroom and we got the voice there. You know, we all know we were up in the ice hockey rink when we had it in the guys, but, you know, still you hear the voice and you know it's on tape and you know one did it, but anybody could say, well, somebody put it there. But, I mean, that's what any skeptic does no matter what it is. And that's like anyone in comedy saying, well, that joke wasn't funny. Well, to 99% of us, it was damn hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To that one person who says, oh, that's nothing, but we all know it was nothing. And, you know, the people that you're with, you know it was something, you know what I mean?
Right, so, and that's why I don't think that, honestly, I mean, I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but I don't think there'll ever be proof of the paranormal. And you could say, well, somebody listening can go, well, that's because it doesn't exist. Touche. Or, you know, that I don't think that science, I mean, it's possible that science and paranormal don't even exist on the same kind of level, and they'll never, you know, like, for me, it's a personal thing. Like, I do it to get these recordings to prove to myself, you know, and if somebody else believes me or not, that's cool. I don't expect them to believe me, and it's cool if they do, but I don't really feel like I can or even should try to convince other people. Like, it's a personal thing to me, and it's different for everybody else. Maybe somebody else, it's not a personal thing. They're
trying to prove. You're going to listen to me.
That's good.
You're
going to
listen
to me really
now.
Cool.
You're going to listen to me, and you're going to like it.
I've always been kind of a loner when it comes to that. You know, like, people can believe whatever they want. I don't, you know, that doesn't really affect me, because to me, it's not even about ghosts for me. It's like, I just want to know what happens when we die. Like, you know, I'm just as much interested in every religion of the world and mythology. And to me, it's just that's just a tributary of, of the bigger picture. You know, I just want to, you know, I want to live a happy life and know, you know, just kind of be at peace and stuff. And so what happens when we die is a big part of that, you know.
Yeah, we won't get into that and the religious aspect of why I'm in it, but I understand that. You know what I mean? That's right. Where it is. I mean, mm-hmm. because we're all looking for the end. And I think that's, you know, that's where I am. I want to prove it from a religious standpoint, because if you believe there's ghosts, then you can believe in religion and you can go from there. You know what I mean? Well, so it's all kind of intertwined.
Well, you know, what happens when we die has plagued mankind throughout the ages. And we're just a long line of people that have been trying to find that answer. And with every passing generation, maybe, we hope, comes a little bit closer to finding that out.
Right.
Oh, right. Oh, you're so great.
I am. I'm so deep, oh, man.
That was so deep, dude.
Yes, and every leaf.
You know what, I've noticed, though, I've dated girls before that, like, complete, like, atheists or don't believe in ghosts at all. They get 10 times more scared of ghosts than people that believe in them. Because I think it challenges everything that, you know, their belief structure. You know, like, if they see a scary movie and they're left alone in the house, they freak out. And then I'm like, well, you don't believe in ghosts.
You know what?
Yeah, but the thing is, if they did believe, all right, if something did happen to them, right, they would have to change their belief structure, like you said. And that's the scariest part to them, because they've gone their whole life and said there is nothing. Then now all of a sudden they have an encounter, and then they have to go, oh, wait, it's a complete paradigm shift for them. You know what I mean? And I think that's what the scariest thing for these people, these skeptics, are, that the fact that if they do find something, they're going to have to change their beliefs,
right?
And the way they think on life, you know. Hey, I didn't believe in all this, but all of a sudden I saw this ghost. You know, either you then have to deny the fact you saw the ghost, or you have to change the way you believe your whole life. And what's easier to do is to deny that the ghost was there.
You know, but the thing of it is, ghosts don't scare me. Aliens do. Because ghosts don't take you to another planet and get heinous with your anus. Aliens do, man. They grab you. I mean, you know, it's one thing to see a ghost, but it's another thing to be grabbed to the mothership.
I watched a lot of alien shows over Christmas. I don't know why, but we just watched a lot of them. And I don't know if I believe in aliens yet, dudes. I really don't.
I was just thinking that I actually need to read another, like, alien book. Like, every once in a while. You're right. Alien books can scare you way more than a ghost book.
Well,
can.
No, I watched that.
At least
that,
a ghost is theoretically a person.
I watched that movie,
just
The
a
Fourth.
Person.
I watched that movie, The Fourth Kind. Wigged me right out, man. That's a weird movie.
It's scary?
It's scary because it's a true story. In fact, before the movie begins, one of the feature actors comes out and warns you that the footage you're about to see in this movie, much of it is actual documented footage of people that...
See, you know what? I saw that preview, and allow me to be the devil's advocate here, but I didn't believe that. Like, I saw the preview, and I can't remember what actress comes out, and she goes,
"Yeah,
these are all fake." I don't think her wording wasn't that. It wasn't that these are all these original videos. She goes, "All of these are based on original videos." So I almost wondered if they still just filmed both of the videos.
Well,
you know,
no,
like
see,
before and after.
Yeah, right. I heard that. I mean, the lady that it's based on happened in Nome, Alaska. I've been trying to get a hold of her to do the show with us. It's like pulling teeth, man. She won't even talk about it. It's, you know, she's that terrified of either that terrified of it or just, you know, afraid of something else. But I digress on that point because I'm not going to speculate her motives. But getting back to the aliens, I mean, can you imagine waking up one night and you got like 12 gray little guys around you and they're going to take you with them? I mean,
let's go.
Never seen your family again.
Cucumber?
Being stabbed. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, yeah. Getting,
oh, they might have cucumber sandwiches, man.
They might.
Never
they
know.
Might. No, but I mean, ghosts are not scary. Yeah, I mean, they are scary.
I used to be terrified of ghosts. Like, I'm always fascinated by what I'm scared of. I'm fascinated by sharks, ghosts, and aliens. And since I've been involved in the paranormal, like, I've been interested in my whole life, but, you know, only the last few years when I've been, like, really getting involved in it. And I've seen some crazy things. And now, like, I'm sitting in the pitch dark in my apartment all by myself right now, which would have freaked me out a while back, and doesn't scare me anymore. So that's why I want to go in a shark tank. You know, if I could see an alien, I would do it because, you know, like, it's kind of cool to, like, conquer your fear, you know.
Wow. Well, true. Very true. I mean, aliens are just one of those things that kind of scares me personally. I mean, it might not scare other people. I mean, I shouldn't say scare, but if I had to deal with one or the other face-to-face, give me a ghost day of the week, opposed to an alien that could possibly grab you and abduct you and take you somewhere far away.
Well, yes. Theoretically, if aliens exist, it would be, if you saw one, you'd be terrified because it's not of this world, and your brain would freak out because it doesn't even know what it's looking at.
True.
You know, like,
true.
It would be otherworldly. It wouldn't even, maybe its skin would even look like skin.
Much,
you know, who knows?
Yeah, much like when Columbus came to America.
What we don't know is what we're afraid of.
Yeah,
it
much
could
like
look very similar to Brett Favre.
There you go. There you go.
old and wrinkly. And a loser.
Well, you save that for sports. But Mike, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and talking with us. It's been a blast. We've had nothing but a great time, and you're welcome back anytime. And we're gonna go ahead and take this final break of the night. And when we come back, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna tackle the sports, what's been happening in the NFL, and yes, we will talk about the Vikings losing. Right back after that.
Oh.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed. Available at Amazon.com.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests, and much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
I am living on Channel Z.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see.
This is going to be a touchdown. I mean, look at that throw.
That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder and bail.
And he shoots. He's gone.
Alrighty. Here we are with another edition of Z Talk Sports. Scotty, it has been one heck of a week in the NFL, hasn't it?
Yeah, it actually has been really kind of a fun weekend here. With the loss of the Vikings tonight, it actually gave the New Orleans Saints the home field advantage.
It did. Go Saints.
It's going to be where it's going to be come out right away. Now, this is what's going to be kind of funny, how the playoff picture, if the season ended today, which it basically did.
It did, yeah.
We'll talk about the Brett Favre and Childress thing in a second here, but I'll just go through where we are right now. Right now, the wild card in the NFC round would go the Cowboys versus the Vikings. So that's the game
wild
right
card?
There. So. And then the Packers are going to take the Cardinals, which is kind of cool because they're going to play 2 weeks in a row.
No, wait, no. Just so I'm understanding this correctly, the mm-hmm. Vikings are only in the wild card?
Yep. Well, they won the division, but they have to play in the wild card because the Saints, because losing today, they put the Saints ahead.
Yeah,
the
never divisional. Mind, never
so
mind.
Saints, yeah, Saints, Colts, Chargers, and Eagles all get the bye.
Okay, yeah, my brain didn't do that quick math like yours did.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely.
I've been
correct.
Watching football all weekend, dude.
You know what? I didn't watch hardly any football at all this weekend.
Oh, that's a shame for you, dude, because it was some great freaking games this week.
I couldn't because, I told my wife that I would spend time with them during the Christmas weekend. Yeah. I mean, really, underpants,
You know, my family went away and they were at my mom's and now they're up at her mom's and I watch football and that's what all.
Where were
okay,
you?
Over. So in the AFC, let's finish out. So the Packers and Cardinals get to play. They play the last game of the season this week together. And then they play in the playoffs together the following week. So it's going to be weird to see how they pick up each other and what they pick up from this game into the playoffs.
Well, I predict, this is my prediction.
And the Eagles hit that field goal at the last second to win.
They did. That was great.
Terrible. I was so mad.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I hate the Eagles.
Really?
Sorry, guys.
I wouldn't have thought
anybody from Philadelphia listening, man, that's just not what it is.
See, I wouldn't have thought that at all because they're really a blue-collar team. I would have thought they would have been kind of...
I was like... But New Orleans, I can't believe they pulled it out again. I mean, they lost... Indianapolis. Now, here's the cool thing about it. And I know I've been listening to ESPN all day today, and they've been talking about Indianapolis should have tried to win, blah, 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 and we shouldn't set our players down. Hey, it's not about the regular season anymore. It's about the playoffs.
Exactly.
You sit them down. Sit them down, and they should have sat them down, and they did, and it was perfect.
Well, look what happened to the Patriots a few years ago. They went 16-0. They couldn't seal the deal. In the Super Bowl, nobody ever mentions their season. Very rarely do they mention that season anymore because they didn't go all the way. They might have had a great regular season, but they fell flat on their face when it counted.
Right. If you look at now, let's go over to the AFC right now. The wild card round will be the Jets versus the Patriots and Denver and Cincinnati. Now, I'm definitely going to. Root for Cincinnati. Cincinnati's had a season of seasons this year. They've been doing pretty good.
They've been doing
where
all right.
San Diego and Indianapolis have the byes in the first round. This is if the season ended today. In the AFC, it's a lot more up in the air than it is in the NFC. NFC is solid.
Yeah.
But the AFC is still up. They got some people that could win this week with a win. So, but if the season playoff picture, if the season ended right now today, mm-hmm. this is the rankings as they would be. Now, let me go through the scores from the week. So if everybody hasn't caught up on the San Diego 42, Tennessee 17, Atlanta, this was a week of blowouts. San Diego game, that was a blowout. Atlanta 31, Buffalo 3, Cincinnati 17, Kansas City 10, Cleveland 23, Oakland 9, Green Bay 48, Seattle 10.
Wow.
That was a big game.
That was a good game.
Houston 27, Miami 20. Baltimore 20, Pittsburgh 23. See, Pittsburgh still has a chance. Mm-hmm. Carolina 41, New York 9. See, that's what gave the Packers their playoffs berth right there. Carolina beating New York Giants. New England 35, Jacksonville 7, Tampa Bay 20, New Orleans 17, and New Orleans just got beat. Arizona 31, St. Louis 10, San Francisco 20, Detroit 6, Philadelphia 30, Denver 27, New York Jets 29, Indianapolis 15, Dallas 17, Washington 0, and then tonight's game, Chicago 36, Minnesota 30.
Yeah, there's a lot of
turmoil in Wonderland.
And the Vikings. Yeah, I mean, you know,
I've told people, and I wanted to really get into Tiger Woods again because I hate him too. But,
wow, you have a lot of hate in your heart tonight.
Yeah, both him and Brett Favre. I've said this from the beginning, and I'm going on record tonight, put it in. Everybody that's told me from before, it wasn't Brett Favre's fault. It wasn't Brett Favre's fault that he left Green Bay. It wasn't it's Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson's bad. And I said, no, it wasn't Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson said, make up your effing mind and let's do it.
Yeah.
And I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be coach. We should be playing my way. Blah, 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 blah. And Thompson finally said, hey, I've had enough. Either you're playing or you're not. We want you here. If you don't want it, go. And he left.
Yep.
And so whose fault is that? That's not Thompson's. That's Favre's. Now, Favre goes to Minnesota. Everybody thinks, oh, he's going for one reason, to show off Ted Thompson. Mm-hmm. And he is still the same player that he was when he was in Green Bay. He's either a hero or he's a zero. He's nothing in between. He's either a hero or he's a zero. And now he's ticking Childress off. Childress doesn't like him. Childress doesn't want him playing for him. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to get to the Super Bowl with him, which is fine. You ride a horse to the end.
Yeah, you know, but
he is causing the same effing problems he did in Green Bay in Minnesota. And if you don't think otherwise, you can have him for the rest of your life, dudes, because he's just a pain in the old hiney.
Now, here's my absolute gut feeling, you know, team or no team. This is my gut feeling on the Minnesota Vikings. I like them. I'm a fan. I'm from Minnesota. Absolutely, I am.
You're a homer, though.
Well, listen to me. Hear me out first, though.
Okay.
They are not going to go very far in the playoffs, in my opinion. And I'll tell you why. Because they're allowing distractions, number one, to get to them.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, yes, I agree with that.
They're allowing that to happen. Number two, Favre is straight up breaking down. He is breaking down in December, just like everybody said he was going to.
Like he always does.
I got to give the devil their due. They said he would break down in December, and here we are, the end of December, and what is he doing? He broke down. He is a broken-down player at the moment.
You should have seen how bad he was tonight in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, I'm watching highlights here on NFL.com. He's like throwing the ball down on the ground. He's mad. He got sacked.
Yeah,
He's ticked. And
what Minnesota needs to do, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is you know what? You got the pony now. You might as well ride the pony until it's dead. You're absolutely correct.
He's done, though. He won't be back next year.
Yeah, you got to get rid of him. We need to go out as a team. The Vikings need to go out and get themselves a young franchise quarterback.
No matter, I'm not a Packer homer. I never am. I mean, even though my family's been going to games since the 50s. Minnesota has a good team. If Brett Favre wasn't there.
You're only as good as your trigger man.
And Brett Favre is a distraction to your team, always will. And people are going, oh, you just don't like Brett Favre because he left Green Bay. No, I don't like Brett Favre because of what he did. And what he thinks he is. He thinks he's bigger than any organization he's in. He doesn't ever think a team. He thinks of Brett Favre.
Well,
if nobody has seen that, and if you haven't seen that in Minnesota, then you guys have your blinders on just as bad as most of the damn people in Green Bay.
Well, look
because it's retarded.
Well, here's the thing. Well, take a look at what he did with the Jets. He gave up on them too.
Oh yeah, because they weren't doing what he wanted to do, and they wouldn't go anyplace. So he wanted to do. Now you look at Green Bay and Minnesota this week. Yeah, Brett Favre, in all his heart, he was going to play the games of games against Green Bay because he wanted to make them look silly.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make them look silly. But if you look at the records, Green Bay has only lost one less game than the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. And look at where Rodgers has been this year. Rodgers has had a much better, stellar year than Favre did.
Well, It is what it is. I mean, Green Bay is a good team. I mean, you know.
They're not the top of the tops, and I'm not saying they are, and I'm surprised where they are, too. But then again, that's the non-homer in me. You know what I mean? I knew that they were okay team. I thought they were upper middle class. That's what I call them. Upper middle class.
You know, anybody.
They're not like the Indianapolis Colts. They're not like the Saints. They're not that caliber. Can they win in a week? Yeah. Green, can they get lucky? Yeah.
In my opinion, my prediction is, whether it be Green Bay, whether it be Minnesota, when they run into that buzzsaw that's called the New Orleans Saints, they're going to lose.
I agree. It's going to be the Saints and Colts. That's who I predict.
The Saints did not play their starters the whole game. I mean,
so, okay, let's give the prediction, since it's a prediction show on New Year's. Saints and Colts. I go Saints and Colts.
I go Saints and Colts, and I think that the Colts have a – if it comes down to a quarterback battle, absolutely, Colts have it in spades all day.
I'd like to see the Saints win, personally.
I would, too, but if it comes down to a defensive battle, though, the Saints, I believe, have a better defense.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Colts.
You know,
so it's going to be the Saints and the Colts, even though I would rather see, once again, I'm putting it out, but I'd rather see the Saints win. But I'll put it out there, then I'm going to take the Colts.
Yeah, well, yeah, I always want to see the NFC win because they've had such a drought. I mean, other than the Eli Manning winning it outside of him, the NFC has been nothing compared to the AFC historically.
But see, I don't think Philadelphia is that great of a team for where they are right now.
No. I think
Green Bay or Arizona could easily take Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota, you know what I mean? Could take Philly at the right circumstances.
Minnesota versus Dallas, though. That's going to be a game of games.
Touching back just really briefly on the Brett Favre thing. Brett Favre is a lot like what we dealt with in Randy Moss. He wants to play only when the spirit, like Randy Moss, I'll play when the spirit moves me to play. And that's very much what's going on with Favre. He'll only play when he feels he wants to play, when he really wants to give that 110%. Because, I mean, he still has it. He really does. He's still
a good quarterback. I'm not saying that he isn't. I never said that. Tiger Woods. They're not bad players. They're great players. Probably one of the best.
They're too good for their own good at times.
And they get it in their minds, and that's where the problems lie. They get in their minds that they're better than everybody else and better than everything.
It's like
that's their problems.
I've heard a few commentators say over the last course of the year that this is the monster that Green Bay built.
They let him do what he wanted to, and that's what it was.
But
until he ran into Thompson and the new coach, and it was done. You know, they're like, no. We're not playing this anymore, Brett. We can't. Mm-hmm. It's not this way. We have to be a team. We have all new kids. We got a new team. The Green Bay is one of the youngest teams out there, as in years-wise. You know what I mean? Their team is young. And if they can keep building on this, they're going to have a good couple years down the road.
Minnesota, for their credit, has some really good receivers now.
They have a very good team.
To where they didn't before, like Percy
but
Harvin.
But you need a quarterback
really
that's going to be able to hold you.
Just like what I said earlier, you're only as good as your trigger man.
You guys got to put together a team, not the Vikings and Brett Favre.
You know, somebody
and
made
I
a
think
comparison.
That's got to tick people off.
No.
I hear it all the time. The Minnesota Vikings and Brett Favre. It should be the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, someone made a comparison the other day with Brett Favre to Barry Bonds. And I don't mean the steroids issue. I mean the way that he carried himself is, I'm Barry Bonds, damn it. Yeah, I mean, kind of thing.
That's what it is.
And I can definitely see that in Favre when he is the way he is. But I got to tell you, and I really mean this. I mean this all the way, that Green Bay, Minnesota, anybody that runs in that, like I said, that buzzsaw of New Orleans is dead meat.
Yeah, I really do. It's going to be New Orleans and Indianapolis.
Yeah,
it's just going to be. That's what it's going to be.
But I think if it comes down to quarterback battle, as we said earlier, it's going to be.
It'll be the Colts. It's going to come down. It's going to be the offense. So
Peyton Manning is the most intelligent, the most accurate, and for my money, at the moment, the best quarterback in the NFL.
Well, let me be a homer. Aaron Rodgers.
No, woo! Man, he would destroy Rodgers, and you know it. You know it in your heart of hearts.
Oh, man, Rodgers lives. See, I'm being Homer.
Yeah, greatness is, you know, greatness is greatness, you know.
We'll see what happens. I mean, it's second year.
Nobody can get to the line like Manning does and orchestrate.
No, I know. He's a great, at this moment in time, he is great. And it's all, the future's left to be seen with Rodgers. I mean, we'll see what he does.
He's got two good years.
Let's see how far he gets in the playoff, and how good next year goes.
Homer alert. But,
yep. Well, we'll see. I mean, because it's all left to be seen. I mean, he's had two good years. I mean, they don't put together a thing. You know, once you get 16 years on the team and doing the same, it's good.
We will see. We will see what ends up happening.
You need a quarterback in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. It's all good. It's all good. They'll get everything righted. You know, everything will be
Well, Happy New Year's, everybody. I know we got to get out of here real soon. Everyone have a great New Year's, and thank you for listening to Z Talk Live. Really appreciate it.
And I also want to thank Mike Brody for stopping by and giving us a great time. And we'll be back next week with, well, we don't know who yet, but we'll be back next week.
With somebody special.
This has been a production of the Z Talk Radio Network.